Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Download the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. It's available in the App Store and Google Play. Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Left wing feed out at center ice. Marchand twists left at the red line. Hands it off for Bergeron. Far circle. Backhand on in front. They score! Might have been deflected in front. Bergeron sets it up, and the Bruins with a 4-2 lead over the Senators.
Not 8-5, the Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich. Billy Jaffe from Nesson is joining us, as he does every Wednesday. And Billy Jaffe, you got the Pearl Jam shirt on from the Fenway concert.
Yeah, I did. I had a good time there. I actually had a great time. Second night was even better than the first. First was okay.
You went to both?
Absolutely.
Did you see Felger take his shirt off?
Oh, damn. No, I didn't.
You missed out on all the good stuff.
He's got a bro who's got a swimmer's bod. Loves to take his shirt off. All right, so you went both nights.
I did. It was awesome.
Now, did you see Phil Collins last night?
I didn't. I left that to Rich.
Okay, yeah. Well, Rich and Wallach went. And just in fairness to you,
yes,
I want to play you this because I know that you probably feel pretty bad that you missed out on Phil Collins.
I do. Yeah.
This is John Wallach's encapsulation of the evening.
Just a bunch of white dudes in polo shirts. Everybody's skin is beige. There's a guy that comes on our show. Our list is low, he blows. Sarge, Sarge, Sergio. Uh-huh. All the callers want to be the first to say that he's the In 20 years, everybody at the show tonight will be gone. They'll be dead.
Including me.
Including me.
Including me.
Including me.
Well, that was a dose of reality.
Yeah, that's a look in the mirror right there.
Look into the face of death right in front of you. I've never felt like a younger spring chicken in my life.
Yeah.
Billy Jaffe than being at the
best,
show.
What was the best song?
Easy Lover.
Something happened on the way to heaven.
Easy Lover. It's
really?
That song's phenomenal. And like, In the Air Tonight was kind of cool because, like, it's the one time he stood up from his comfy chair with a table full of snacks.
Right. He stood up for about 3 minutes during a 2-hour show. The rest was in a swivel chair.
Now, okay, so what is the song that you like?
Something Happened on the Way to Heaven.
You would know it if you heard it.
Okay. How's it go?
Had a
you can run, but you can't hide.
Yeah. I'm not leaving unless you come with me.
Oh, yeah, I know that song.
Yeah, yeah, you know that. There's like a bunch of ones that like I had no idea about until I saw it. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, I know that one.
What does that mean? Remind you of Happier Times Wall Game?
Well, I mean, there's a big band, you know, part of that show, you know, throwback to high school type thing. I, you know, respect the brass.
No, was there...
In the song.
Was there a clarinet?
No, there was no clarinet. There should have been one. Would have jazzed things up a little bit.
You could have got a Woody Allen out
yeah.
there.
How big was the horn section?
There were four of them.
Nice.
Three trumpets and a trombone.
Now, did they sit down?
This one. This is the song.
I don't know if I know this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You guys
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
Just a lot of polite clapping.
Yeah.
A lot of snapping.
I'm pretty jazzed up about this show.
A lot of khakis.
Now, I'm all for the sitting. Yeah. Not from him, but from me. If you go to an arena show, there's no reason to stand up for 2 hours. Who are you kidding? Did you stand up the whole jam show?
Yes. Cold.
Did you really?
What?
Absolutely.
I sat down.
We were on
time.
The field. No, we were. It was great.
Oh.
It
was, if you were on the field, I can kind of see it.
Now, how was the first Pearl Jam show not as good as the second Pearl Jam
set list? Set list was. And I think that there was something. I don't know what was going on, but they were a button up to that end of the curfew.
There. Okay.
And Eddie kind of made it known. I don't know what was happening. They got started a little late. They ended a little soon, but right around the cutoff. And it was good. Don't get me wrong. And look, I'm not, that's my favorite band, A Temple of the Dog. You know, those are that was my thing. So I love them. To say I'm a fanatic, no. I mean, I want to go to both.
Well, things, you went
so
to two okay. shows. It's a fanatic.
Right. Every couple of years, I'll see them twice. I don't go to other concerts, relatively speaking. But anyways, the second night, the energy, the set list, and everything, the follow through was just. I mean, those guys at 52, 53 years old, I respect the heck out of them. I know everybody doesn't, I mean, you know, we all don't love the same music, but those guys play hard.
They play hard. Admit, however, that the Temple of the Dog album is better than any single Pearl Jam album. Like, if you just, a collection of songs, any single one. Now, you could say Pearl Jam is a better band, but that album is better than any single Pearl Jam.
I think
album.
You feel those songs on that Temple of the Dog one. It's because of the compilation. It's the mix, right?
Sure. And it's why they did it.
It's why they did it, of course.
And Chris Cornell's vocals on that.
Spectacular.
I know you laugh at it, but I think it kills it. See, I love that.
You don't love it?
I think it's hysterical, that song.
I'm going hungry.
Susan Waltman.
I'm going hungry.
Roger Clemens.
All right, so Billy Jaffe's in here. He got to be outside.
Yeah, that was. They need to keep that. And I know you would probably hate that, but that was awesome. Like having you on the street, and like as I said, all of our
Why isn't Dale
here.
Out there with you? That's what
because
I want
because he'd probably
know.
Be mortified. Admit
he was out there.
Wait a sec. Dale did pre outside. I did post game.
Okay.
That was the difference. And so that was the only change.
Yeah, but you get to drunk people. That's the difference.
Yes,
Dale likes drunk people. Bring them out there.
You looked like you were having a blast. And it was one of those things where it's just you could feel the energy. There are a bunch of awesome like Bruins fans, idiots running all over the place.
Let me ask you this, just to use that Temple of the Dog album analogy type of thing. That was a one time. That was that one album.
Mm-hmm.
If we did it every game,
it'd be awesome. It would never get old to me.
Really,
it would never get old to me.
Yes, because it would not get old because there would be the uncertainty of what was going to happen.
Yes,
wonderful. Thank you.
But you can handle that. Like you're built to handle that. You have that type of temperament. I do want Dale Arnold to be out there just to see the people start trying to rock the stage while he's on.
It worked out a perfect storm in a good way on Monday because obviously with the win it helps. And if you're going to do that post from public area, you have to have interaction with team after every game. And if they lose after those games, and hypothetically speaking, let's say Coach, you know, Bruce Cassidy stays inside, or we don't get a player, well, then I'm sitting out there doing nothing. I'm listening to people probably curse at me or at the you know how it is that moment after the game.
Just move the whole desk out there. They do it for the Red Sox games. Move the whole desk out there.
Well, but it's a different vibe, I think that we ought to do it periodically throughout the season, and especially try and do it in winter, and because that's part of hockey.
Yeah.
Now the question becomes is, and I don't know the whole issue with the city. I mean, they had a special thing. They shut it off, and it was a fan fest. before the game, and then a little after, although they started taking it down right after. Can they do that every game? Can they close off Canal? I don't know. It's a rhetorical question.
Nesson has connections. They do it for the Red Sox games. They shut down parts of
the stadium. Bruins really wanted to. I give the Bruins full marks because they came up with the idea, too, and they wanted to be out there. And the fans were awesome. Now, it worked out perfectly. The weather was decent, misty and cool afterwards, but decent. The fans weren't too sloppy drunk, and they won. And they won. And so that's that. It's that wonderful storm of energy that you get that's when it works, it works. I mean, Bergeron was great out there. Yeah. They were chanting his name. They started chanting Bruce's name when he came up there, had fun. He threw out the Yankee suck thing out there at the end, too. It was great. And I do love doing it. You know, we've done it a lot with the NHL Network where we're out in the crowd area. You just have to have a little bit of a perimeter to make sure people literally can't throw things up on you or throw up on you and, be there. But
that's what makes it fun.
It does make it fun. It was awesome. I do love doing that stuff. And you know what? Because when it's all said and done, how corny is this? It's just hockey. It's just hockey and it's just TV. Have fun with it. We take ourselves too seriously at times.
You could have Dale actually stand in a block of ice instead of the wood box.
I thought you meant to chill him.
No. Okay. To slow him down a little bit. He gets off the rails there. All right. So Billy Jaffe is in studio. We will 617-779-0985. We will talk about this Bruins team, a team that looked so horrendous coming out of game one.
And now it seems like a million years ago.
Well, we'll see.
Or three game.
Yeah. Top heavy.
They've had a very
that first
relaxed
line.
Start Top of the heavy. Season.
Yep.
They have.
Is this another? I haven't looked. Is this another situation where in April they play like every other day?
No, but March they're going to be busy. But December might be pretty brutal too. I'll look that up again. This what works out really well right now is the space between games and also who they're playing right now. And you know what? It's part of the schedule. Take advantage of it.
That's right. All right, Billy Jaffe with us 617-779-0985.
Sports Hub.
A major situation. I can't hear a thing now.
All right.
Jesus Christ.
I'm gonna break the window.
Hey, stop it.
By the way, David Lee Roth, I believe, is 64 today.
That is the best. That is really? Felger and Amonte when they first installed the Ace Ticket Studio down by the TD Garden.
Felger, by the way, was the very, very effective knock it off.
Yeah, hey, stop, guys. And, of course, it just gets even worse after he says that.
Knock it off.
Oh, that was phenomenal. And that's what we need, Billy. We need that environment back down there, especially during the playoffs. That was great because you would always say, okay, well, the place after a big win in the playoffs, the street, Causeway's got to be going insane right now. You flip it over, and now they've got blinds up. We got to make the broadcast great again there, Jeff.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Let's get out there. I would be shocked if we, especially come spring and playoff time, don't have an element. Maybe that same set, maybe more outside there.
And by the way, let me tell you this. I'll be listening tomorrow morning at 7:30 and 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots battle the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs this Sunday night at Gillette Stadium. Now, Billy, we were talking about this off air. Your belief is, this team is obviously exceptionally top heavy, is to move Pasternak down to the second line.
Said it last year an awful lot. I'm willing. This is the beautiful time of year to try it. You know, 20 give 10 games in 20 games. You really know a lot about your team, but give it 10 games to mix things up. I'm sure there's some trepidation to take David out off of that line and to move him with Krejci because of how good they are. But you can always put that line back together quickly. Really quickly. Try it. I mean, try Anders Bjork perhaps on the top line. He's been okay. He's been getting his. Bruce even talks about it. Getting his legs. Try maybe Ryan Donato, who's much more, he's really more of a left winger than a right winger, but maybe you try him up there. I just think it's pretty obvious. It doesn't take an analyst to sit here and tell you they're not getting enough out of their second and third line. There's been articles about it. We talked about it last week.
How much of this is Krejci's fault?
He's part of it. There's no doubt about it. But there's been that rotating wing there on that right side that hasn't been in sync with him. It took a little while last year to get that chemistry with Jake DeBrusk, and obviously that works. Now Jake doesn't have any points yet, but he started to come close to it. He started to barrel his way to the front the other day. Mm-hmm. I just think this is the beautiful time of year to try and get some of that. You know, see what we have. See where else. See who can handle moving up and playing with Patrice Bergeron. And see, you know, can one of the young kids do that? You know, we haven't seen enough out of Krejci regularly, and he's got to have a hand in it. But so does his line. There's no question that his line mate or line mates have a hand in it too. When DeBrusk was going, really going the last third of the season last year into the playoffs, all of a sudden, you saw some of the wizardry of David Krejci again. You know, nobody makes the saucer pass better than Krejci on the Boston Bruins. That's great, mm-hmm. but you have to have somebody to make it to as well. I think just the speed on that side and the headiness of Pastrnak's game in the sense of, he'll take some chances that make you want to say, whoa, Dave, get the puck deep. But you know what? His ability to finish and his ability to dazzle out there could help Krejci out. Maybe it doesn't work, but give it two or three games.
There's nothing that I've seen from David Pastrnak, or I've heard him say, that doesn't make me think he's not a team guy. But I mean, isn't that kind of a kick in the nuts for him?
No.
Is that you've got this amazing chemistry going with this? I mean, because of this line, and you know, obviously him and Patrice Bergeron. You don't think that that's something that's looked upon as being like, all right, well, I got to now try to build this chemistry all over again.
Well, there's a lot of respect with David Krejci, and, you know, from David Krejci or to David Krejci from David Pastrnak, the Czech connection, et cetera. This is what a lot of people thought originally would be the regular line mate. I mean, you don't know until you try. So kicking the nuts, not at all. This is about making the team better. We all saw what happened last year when the top line doesn't score. This
sure.
team.
Yeah, when they get shut down.
So with David Pastrnak, just using him as an example, rather win or rather be the line that's only getting the only line getting chances regularly and team not win? I think he'd rather win.
Sure.
When it's all said and done.
All right. Brian, you were talking to the one and only Billy Jaffe. Brian.
Brian, what's up? He was saying, who sits when Krug comes back? When Krug comes back, who do you think sits?
Who sits when Krug comes? You know what? I mean, let's see how Matt Grizzlick has done up until that. They're giving him the power play minutes. That might be the one. Unless something happens injury wise, it's either going to be Grizzlick or John Moore. I thought John Moore was involved more the other day. Right now we still got. By the way, we're not even at that 3-week mark yet where Krug's being reevaluated.
Right.
Yeah. So we don't know. It could be. Let's say he's out another week, so that's 4 weeks, or we could hear, I hope not, we could hear something even more than that. So we don't have to worry about that right now.
All right. Your theories on Tuukka Rask, how do you think he looked?
I thought he looked better. I don't think that he didn't have to steal the game, but I thought he looked better. I know some people were down on that goal from Dzingel from the left side, the half wall, kind of the half slapper, but Char was in front of him. You could kind of see Char's reaction. He's like, oh, man, sorry, type of thing. There were a couple posts. Here's the thing. The game was loose. It was way too loose for my liking, but we're talking about the third game of the year. We're talking about a team that they're playing in Ottawa that finally is playing kind of unleash the hounds hockey because they're playing with house money. So you kind of get drawn into that with them. And I thought the Bruins did at times early on in the game. They were better. They were driving the net, et cetera. Then they got loose. Tuukka made some saves, some good saves. I thought he was good. I thought he did his job the way he needed to in that game. He didn't have to steal it, but he was good. Now, here's the thing. He's going to get either Edmonton or Detroit. So Thursday's Edmonton, Saturday's Detroit. I got to imagine Halak will get one of those games as well. But Tuukka will get him. I wouldn't be surprised if you went Tuukka tomorrow again and then Halak on Saturday. We'll find out. I'm going to go to Warrior after this. But I thought he was fine for it. I thought he did his job. He understood. I had a long talk with Tuukka during the end of last week and before practice here, before the game here. He understood that he really did. He was like, I wasn't good. I didn't do my
job. How is he mentally?
Fine. He's fine. He's a brutally intense. We don't see it, though. You ask guys that have played with him, he's an intense guy.
You've seen him smash his stick before. I mean,
exactly.
Every once in a while,
so
you
I think
get a glimpse.
He's pulled that back though a bit. But he was good. He was chuckling about some things. Right frame of mind, and I do think he understands that this is a huge year for him and the team. This is you look at the team. I think we all know it. The sweet spot for guys. Bergeron only continues to seem to be all world, all everything, Hall of Famer. Marchand hasn't even started scoring. He's recording points, but he hasn't scored.
Yeah, does that concern you? It seems that, well, he leads the league in assists.
Right, exact, no.
So, people seem to be freaking out that he's not shooting the puck.
He will. Marchand will. He will. Brad Marchand will. He'll shoot the puck.
Well, it seems like he's making the right play right now.
He is. You know, that game against Buffalo, he made a few mesmerizing plays and passes that were exceptional. And so this team, they have a lot of goodness to it. They do. But they have to take advantage of where they're at. Are we at make or break? You know, this is the year. No, this is one of those sweet spot years, though, where they're at. So, I think Tuukka's part, I think he understands that. I do. I think all these guys do. We look at it differently as on the outside in. When you have 82 games, you cannot ride the emotional highs and lows the way that fans and sports radio and everybody else does. Because if you did that as a player, if you guys had a bad day on the air, right, in your business, a bad day, which never happens. But if you had a bad day, you have to just move on to the next day. And you're like, I'm going to be better. Because if you lived and died with every single day, job.
You go out, you get wasted.
Well, fine, you go out, get wasted.
And then you come in the next day dragging. And then you just go, screw it all.
You know what? Every once in a while, as a hockey player, go out and get canned. You do it. There's every once in a while, go do it and have fun with it.
Do any modern-day hockey players do that anymore?
Yes.
Okay.
They'll do it if they have a couple days off at home. There'll be get-togethers. I don't know about publicly. But on the road, there's once or twice a year where the guys will get after it. Not everybody goes out and drinks. That's life now. But there will be guys that will absolutely have some fun, and they should. You know, there are people that go on their jobs and they go have a good time on their business trip, and every once in a while the company's like, go have a good time tonight. No different. These guys should be treated
that's
no
what
different.
It's like at Nesson for Billy when if they ever send him on the road. Yeah. It's a cacophony of fun.
Him and Dale Arnold dancing on the tables.
That's right.
Standing
on one.
That's right. but have you heard about, I think it was the Canucks that did the Fortnite thing?
They
banned it because it was keeping their guys from going out and, like, you know, doing what hockey players do, as you said.
Yeah.
Bonding with your teammates, going out and drinking, having dinners together.
More than that, it was keeping them up. They'd get into the hotel, they'd set it up, and then they'd stay up all night playing the game.
Can you imagine actually having to have that conversation with grown adults?
Yes.
And I can't.
Because they're not adults.
They're not. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, because I'm sure most of the people are like
I don't think Chara brings an Xbox with him on the road.
I mean, guess not.
Kurt Schilling did.
Well, yeah, because he's a child. He's got the mind of a child. Schilling's one of the dumbest human beings on the planet.
I mean, that's the excellent point.
Well, yeah, he liked the video games so much he thought he could make them.
Oh. I just love it how, like
I like hockey. I think I'm going to get out there and play goal today for the Bruins.
Isn't it great how we go from, like, how many years ago was it? 7-8 years ago, they're having to be security outside of the hotel room of Tyler Seguin. Rumors, just to keep him in from partying. And now it's like you have to tell them to get out of their hotel room and go have a good time with your teammates.
I know. Hey, you know what? It's a valid point because there's an element of that that's missing because many of these young kids that are coming up in all sports, but I can speak obviously mostly of hockey, they change teams. When they're 13, 14, 15, 16 regularly. They go everywhere where they're told that they're the greatest. So they start isolating themselves. They get up to the NHL if they're fortunate enough and skilled enough to make it to that level. And some of them are good teammates and some of them are just, they're individuals, you know. And hockey, we always talk about that ultimate team sport. The best teams that you see are the ones that you don't love everybody, but you get along.
But Vegas is like an example of...
Well, last year especially.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
When we were all in Atlanta, I mean, the team was god awful. But there were guys that had a good time on the road, I can tell you that.
Oh, it was a good crew. You could just tell by the guys there.
Andy Sutton, right? He had a sun tattoo around his belly button.
On his navel, yes. But that.
Every time I saw him, I would go, why did you get that stupid tattoo?
And if anyone made fun of it, Odgers would step in and punch him in the face.
Odgers was around.
But that was the type of guy right there, Jeff Odgers, who played a little with Boston Bruins. He's a great example of he knew when to pick his spots.
Yep.
And was that guy fun?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. It was fun. Is he all right now?
Aja, he runs the farm in Saskatchewan.
Okay, he's all right.
He's a great guy. Yeah,
because Aja's used to take an effing beating.
I've never met a person whose nose is further from the center of his face than Jeff
Rogers.
So
we came out
of
the game in Chicago once, Hawks Bruins, Hawks Thrashers, and Aja, who did. He was a wide-open fighter. I mean, there was no defense in his fighting. He got into a huge battle with Ryan Vandenbosch, who was another guy that was wide open. All he had to do was breathe on Aja and his nose would break again, too, because there's no cartilage left. Anyhow, long story short, I'll never forget this. We're getting towards the bus. And, you know, I'm waiting to get on it, and I see Aja, and his nose is in four different directions. And I just said to him, hey, you doing all right, buddy? He goes, what a way to make a living. I mean, just, you know, like that solemn moment of, you know, and he's accepted it, but wide open. What a great guy.
Oh, yeah,
what a great team.
He was a good guy in his brief time. With Atlanta. All right, Billy Jaffe from Neston, thank you so much, sir.
Tomorrow night, Edmonton, Connor McDavid in town.
There you have it. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back with the Stack.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the Stack.
Many of the Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. The Stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare. Remember that tomorrow morning at 7:30 and 9:30, you can get a pair of tickets to see the Pats battle the Kansas City Chiefs, who are undefeated this Sunday at Gillette Stadium. That's coming up tomorrow at 7:30 and 9:30.
So we all know that extremely strange interview that was done by Odell Beckham Jr. for ESPN, where inexplicably, when I say inexplicably, they never explained, did they, why Lil Wayne was also there during the interview?
Because
from all of the interview clips that I've seen, I don't remember the woman from ESPN ever asking Lil Wayne a question.
There was a codeine salesman on the scene. I read Lil Wayne's book, and apparently when he was in jail, he kept a diary, and apparently in the diary he keeps saying he waited for coffee and he wanted coffee, but when coffee is another term for methadone.
Oh, okay.
So that took me. I'm like, why does he want coffee so bad?
It's apparently something different.
Why does he want to wake up and get coffee? But anyway, that's a side note just to show I read a book.
So Lil Wayne was on his own Instagram, and he made a video because apparently Eli Manning, because in the interview, Odell Beckham Jr. says that there might be some problems with the quarterback side. He basically blamed everyone except for himself for the problems the Giants are going through. So Lil Wayne makes a video, and he apparently feels disrespected by Eli Manning, and this is what he had to say.
Eli Manning.
By the way, Lil Wayne, you wouldn't have guessed that was him if I played that there.
It's amazing that he can rhyme like that, considering
his brain seems to run so slow. Because he talks slow, he moves slow.
And he's like a lot older than you would think. I think he's like 40.
Is he?
I think he's like 39 or 40.
Eli Manning, every time I'm doing an interview about you, and somebody is about to, even, it don't have to be an interview, even in the crib and around amongst the homies, I'd be the first one to say, you can ask Skip Bayless, that's my homie, shout out Skip. You can ask Skip Bayless, first thing I'm going to say is, man, listen, I got an uncle that was doing time that remember seeing Eli, Archie, Peyton, Cooper. He remembers seeing them at 5 in the morning, every other morning, on the schoolyard, way before the students get there practicing. And I'm the first one to back you up, man. Be like, man, he got two rings before his brother, blah, blah, blah. And here you talk about you don't watch Lil Wayne much. That's fine. I'm cool with what you, I don't care what you watch or what you listen to. I didn't say anything bad about you, man. Dang. So I ain't gonna say nothing bad about you now. But you ain't gotta watch much of me. But you can't listen if you could. You probably need to, the way you've been playing. You probably need to bang some Call to Five.
He just kind of fades out.
He's 36.
Oh, he's 36.
Yeah, he's running out of steam at that point.
Yeah, it looks like he's about to probably fall asleep. However, I do admire the fact that when everyone nowadays is making diss tracks, he's just like, yeah, he said mean things. I don't care. It's cool, man.
What did Eli say about him?
He said, I don't watch Lil Wayne, which is such an Eli Manning thing to say.
Yeah. Well, he was at Phil Collins last night, so he might be a little tired.
He might be. Well, speaking of teams that are imploding, Antonio Brown is facing a lawsuit from a guy who claims that he nearly killed a young boy during a reckless fit of rage earlier this year.
Right. Earlier this year.
Yeah. Well, according to this lawsuit, a man by the name of Ophir Sternberg
just sat around on it for a couple months.
I don't know. Maybe it's just that TMZ finally got a hold of it, and
I
that it's been going on behind the scenes, but this is something that is he's being sued for. So this guy said his 22-month-old son was walking around a pool area at a high-end apartment complex when furniture and other items came flying off a 14-story balcony. Some of the items included two large vases and a heavy ottoman, and they landed roughly a foot from the toddler and the boy's grandfather. So security and police were called to the scene, and surveillance footage reportedly showed Brown in a fit of rage and causing extensive damage to his apartment. Now, this guy Sternberg, who's suing him, said in the lawsuit that Brown was extremely agitated, acting aggressively, and yelling at security personnel when police arrived to the scene. He said his child was traumatized by the incident and has been experiencing night terrors ever since. So he's suing Brown for assault and intentional infliction of emotional distress, all claiming that Antonio Brown acted, quote, without regard for human life. If he didn't even touch anybody, that's a little aggressive.
Well, he just said, hey, there's a lot of people at the pool. I'm going to start throwing crap down on them.
Well, so here's why. Now we're starting to find out what was the reason that he went nuts. Apparently, according to a police report, the rage came after Antonio Brown said he returned from an 11-day trip to discover $80,000 and a handgun were missing from his apartment. So Antonio Brown filed an initial report on the 23rd, which is the day after all this happened.
It was buried in the backyard in a coffee can. $80,000. What
just,
an idiot.
Just
you deserve to be robbed.
If you just keep that amount of money.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
Oh, well, here's what's even better. So the footage showed a cleaning crew entering the apartment on April 13th. The women on the footage claimed that they were hired by someone who said to be Brown's representative, but they denied taking the money or the gun and mentioned how other people were in the apartment days before Brown left. So he's got $80,000 in his apartment, yet there's people who have access to come in and out of his place
right.
that and he is not aware of.
That the gun gets stolen, because if you have it registered under your name, it's a whole situation.
Oh, sure. Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, so, yeah, we'll see what happens with that. I mean, I don't know. I would be pissed off, too, if someone took $80,000. Now, if you look at my wallet, who keeps that kind of cash around?
Mercy, apparently. He hands it out to people.
I have $35 in my wallet. Like, who needs money like that? Like, on hand.
I mean, what are you buying other than illegal, like, things that are illegal and you don't want, like, traced?
I have no idea. I have no idea why you would hold that kind of money on you.
Is there any reason, honestly, that I can't think of except to purchase something like guns
tax?
Or...
Maybe it's a tax situation or something like that. I don't know.
But it doesn't matter if it's in your bank account.
Wait. No. But maybe if it's like unmarked, you got paid under the table for something and you didn't want to have it taxed.
But if you put it in your bank account, I guess someone could find a paper trail. Yeah, I guess
if you put it in the bank, it's a paper trail.
Wow. Well, that is interesting.
Obviously, you're not high-end white-collar crime.
Apparently, I'm out of that loop. Yeah. Well, the 2019 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees have been announced.
This is fascinating.
Okay. The first name that catches the eye. Def Leppard. Who definitely should be in. Yeah, there's no question whether or not Def Leppard should be in. People forget how massive that band was. Like right around
Hysteria
like
went diamond.
Yeah, it was right. 10 million. No, I think it was more than that.
No, it's more than that, but it went diamond.
Yeah. It was massive.
And they were massive because remember how long it took for Hysteria to come out?
Yeah, because of like the accident with the drummer and they had to redo everything and teach him how to play with one arm.
They were the biggest rock band in the world for a period of time. That's it. So, it was
inspiring how you can be that ugly and still be that successful. And then, like, the boy band version Bon Jovi showed up. And I always hated Bon Jovi.
I didn't. Who's ugly in Def Leppard?
All of them.
The bass player's a hulk.
Rick Savage?
Rick Savage. That's his real name.
He's a hunk? There's no hunks in that band.
I will give you Animal, the video, and then you tell me, you look at it and tell me Rick Savage ain't a hulk.
I might do that. Another band of hunks, if you consider Wallach a hunk. Devo.
Like, Devo's a band I've always wanted to like, but I can't.
They're all right. They make me smile.
Have you ever seen the art film they made when they were still in Akron that won, like, some award at the Chicago Film Festival?
No, of course not.
It's just creepy and awful. Like, I don't know what they're doing, but I'm fine with Devo not being in.
All right, then you've got...
You
got to put The Cure in. They basically started a whole genre of music. Then it gets a little head scratch. And this happens every single year. Is that in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, LL Cool J.
No.
Which was even for like rap, if it was just pure merit of what you did, I never considered LL Cool J. I guess he was somewhat of a, he was back in that era of the Rick Rubin pioneers and things like that. I guess you could say that. But
well, he was Rick Rubin's first guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that then put Rick Rubin in. I mean, don't.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, do they put? I guess they put producers.
LL Cool J's music is not aged well either.
Like Mama said, "Knock You Out" doesn't do it for you.
That's an okay song, but yeah, like,
But listen to the rhymes in that. I'm that type of guy, though. By the way, is one of the great videos of all time because he's crawling around as a cat burglar.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominee, Janet Jackson.
A lot of top-selling albums over a long period. This is
why call it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Well,
she's
not
a
anymore.
Pop artist. I know it's not anymore, but it's like.
No, I don't think that she should make it. I don't even know what song this is.
Yeah, I don't know that one. I mean, she had a bunch of mega hits. This Jim one, as much as I like this band.
No, hell no.
Rage Against
Why?
The Machine.
Why? And by the way, they were nominated last year.
Yeah.
Like, what? How many albums do they even have?
I think they have four and a covers album.
Okay, no. No.
You don't have to have that many. Guns N' Roses doesn't have a ton of albums.
All right. Well, Guns N' Roses had a transcendent album. I mean, Rage Against the Machine weren't even the top five, alternative radio.
I like them a lot, but the standard, I don't know.
Their singer's corny as hell.
Yeah, I never liked their lyrics. I always liked the music, though. The music was very good.
Corny.
Other people, John Prine.
I don't know. I barely know who that is.
Kraftwerk.
Yeah. No, don't put Kraftwerk in.
MC5, who's been nominated. I think last year they were nominated as well.
I like MC5.
Radiohead, I guess.
Sure.
I guess so. Roxy Music, people seem to like them.
Brian Eno.
Stevie Nicks, who is already in with Fleetwood Mac, but it would just be her solo.
Nah, you got to just go for the Mac attack.
Todd Rundgren. I don't want to work.
Just he made that song?
Isn't that Todd Rundgren?
No, that's him.
Okay, yeah. Did he have any other songs?
Not that I'm aware of.
Dan just told me one of my headset. I've never heard it. Hello, it's me.
Oh, hello, it's me.
That's
how
Leo's,
are you doing?
Leo Sayer, soft rock.
Leo Sayer.
Rufus and Chaka Khan. Now, if it was just straight up Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan. I had the 12-inch of that. So
I had the 6-inch of that, but or 7-inch. I'll tell you this, is that I have no idea who you just mentioned.
Rufus?
I have no idea.
It's Rufus and Chaka Khan. Together.
He was Fred Sanford's friend.
Yeah.
and then the Zombies, who are Wild Thing, right?
No. They're a worse.
So that's the truth.
Yeah, this
is Hello, it's me. This is Todd Rundgren.
This song is awful.
This is Leo Sayer, early 1970s. That's
depressoid, like suicide music. Yeah, this is the worst.
Hello, it's me.
I always thought it was a woman. Yeah, nope. That is Yacht Rock.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, it's Yacht Rock.
I thought this was like Anne Murray. Sounds right. Like I'm
halfway there. That's true.
Yeah, no. Out.
Yeah,
out.
Well, there you go. I like that Rufus and Chaka Khan. They'll probably make
Chaka
it.
Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan.
Kraftwerk are going to make it, and they deserve to make it, but I dare you to sit down, because I tried to yesterday, and listen to Kraftwerk.
What's a Kraftwerk song?
I don't know.
I should know it.
They're all in German, but the like model or something, but you'll hear the hook of every single rap song from like 78 to like 84. It's like every single rap song. But other than that, they're like, all right, we'll be back. We'll find out what Zoldak and Bertrand have on the way.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Play.
Did you find that Jaco Homo song?
No.
The video for it?
No, I have not.
It's a nightmare. The Devo. It's an absolute nightmare.
Okay. Maybe I don't want to watch it then.
Yeah, you watch it. You're telling everyone to watch these Mind F things.
No, I don't recommend those to anybody. I say I enjoyed them, but that's
how
the last
thing. How could you like Eraserhead?
Well, Eraserhead is tough to watch. However, the last Twin Peaks was phenomenal, and that was disturbing as hell.
You need like a Cliff Notes to get through a Razorhead because everything has some meaning that I'm too dumb to figure out.
Have you watched Mandy yet with Nicolas Cage?
No, I've okay, watched Mandy. Come on. I'm not going to sit down for 2 hours to watch that.
The last 30 minutes is just him with a chainsaw and like high on coke and some weird kind of hallucinogenic going on a murderous rampage.
Yeah, I'm not going to look at that.
Oh, it's insane.
All right, Scott Zolak, hello.
Good morning.
Scotty Z.
How we doing, guys?
Good. I heard you were having fun at a little concert last night.
Yeah, Paul McCartney. It was pretty damn good. Played the hits.
That's insane. So at a private party, the crafts were able to get Paul McCartney to play out there. In the past, they've had Elton John.
Rolling Stones 2 years ago, Elton John last year, and then, they topped it this year. Yeah. I don't know how you top it next year.
Like an olive.
That's got to be...
I thought of Chachi.
Of Cold Cuts McCartney. Who else was there?
Wick Grosbeck and pretty much all Robert's friends.
Okay.
Like, same people.
Jimmy
same
Dean.
Does he have a band?
Oscar Mayer. Yeah, he had a band, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but they blow it out. They put a big tent on the field and it's just open bar, so it was a good night. Wow.
The Boarshead family. Yes, the Cold Cuts McCartney.
Classics.
the pickle fortune, yes.
They're an empire.
They are. That stork just keeps showing up.
So, oh, your boy James Corden was there too.
Really?
Last night?
Yeah. Oh.
They fly him in for that?
He introduced him for the whole car karaoke or whatever the hell that thing
is. Did you say whole car karaoke?
Why did they pay him to go?
I don't know.
They might as well just have stolen toilet paper from the bathroom and put
it on
stage.
That's got to be a McCartney thing. Yeah. If you want me to play, Corden has
you
to want introduce me. To play?
Do you honestly think Paul McCartney would say that?
They had this big...
McCartney don't play unless you bring the funny man.
Why else would he have been there?
All I need, bro, is two pieces of bread and some meat.
He did like a little stand-up. But we start baseball. Burt Breer's in for 2 hours, and we have Stephon Gilmore will join us along with Brad Friedel. Friedel and the Beatle.
Friedel.
Talk a little clean.
Put him on the side. Put him on it, for God's sake.
Put him in the
experiment.
That's right.
The Maid of Corn, as the Indians called it. Maize.
Thank you, Cold Cuts McCartney.
Native American, my bad.
That's right.
All right, everyone. Everyone go out about your business today. Enjoy all the asses of different shapes and sizes. That'll do it for us. Bye.